Do you love a good short story collection? Something that takes you into many different worlds in one book? Australian writer Margot Lanigan's macabre short stories transport you to fairy tale-like lands where the story doesn't always end up happily ever after, and she's won awards for her work. So where does she turn to for inspiration? For our masterpiece segment, she's talking to Sarah Lestrange.
Margot Lanigan, what have you chosen for your masterpiece?
I've chosen a really, really short story by Joy Williams called Souvenir from her collection The Visiting Privilege.
I had the privilege of reading it last night. It is a short story. I thought, oh, that's a short masterpiece.
It's only a little bit above 1,000 words.
It builds to a big crescendo. Tell us about it.
Well, it's set in Cornwall. Joy Williams is an American writer, and she's writing about mainly American tourists who are there in Cornwall. And they are very well-travelled tourists, and they are a little bit disillusioned with Cornwall. And they're there on Shrove Tuesday, and it is time for the locals to play their Lenten prank. And the Lenten prank involves two old men going up to the pub where all the tourists are sitting, drinking horrendous cocktails, and getting them to admit to some loss that they have suffered. And basically, that leads them into dreadful territory. Very gradually, they start off with tiny things, and then it sort of builds to them realising, as the locals wanted them to realise, that what did they think life was? A vacation? Oh no, it wasn't.
Part of the build-up is that this place is known for its ghost stories, so you're sort of expecting something gruesome and horrible to be told to these tourists, but that the horror is in themselves.
That's right, and they know they're there for something more because they have encountered the ghost stories, and they sort of detail what they're about. A lot of drowned people, a lot of ghosts coming back to harass the living, and their general conclusion is that those stories were a little tiresome. So in their quest for something less tiresome, they find something that is just too much for them to bear.
And something a little universal as well.
Yes.
So she's an American author, as you say. She's the author of four novels and short story collections. Why did you choose this story for your masterpiece?
This one, well, because this was the one that introduced me to her. I heard her on Michael Silverblatt's Bookworm podcast on KSRW, and the very first thing he got her to do was to read this whole story aloud. So it was one of those hair rising on the back of the neck experiences. And the fact that it led me to her, to not only her short stories, but to the interviews with her online, where she says many uncomfortable and wise things about writing, I think will keep me attached to this story particularly. But also just the fact that it's so compact. You know, there are entire chunks of the action that are just missing that you can just assume.
This is in England, in Cornwall, and a more weird, dreary spot could scarcely be imagined. Nevertheless, tourists were beginning to arrive in ever-increasing numbers because they had been everywhere else. The inhabitants of the place were in many respects peculiar, poor and cruel, with extraordinary dark eyebrows, but the cream teas were excellent, the dogs were polite, the gulls were big, the crows enormous.
It's also kind of funny.
I know, it is insanely funny, but it's a particular kind of funny. George Saunders calls it that particular American brand of funny that is made of pain. And while I don't think it's particularly American, I agree that it's all about the pain, it's all about the discomfort. But also there's this one weird fantastical piece in it, just three paragraphs in, where she says, she's talking about the dogs. Actually, the dogs, though courteous, didn't work as hard as the dogs of Wales. And then she says, the ones without heads were the devil's dogs. Even the most unobservant tourist had no problem in identifying them. So you know these dogs are out there. They never come into the story again, but the fact that they are there casts this ghastly shadow over the whole thing. And that's hilarious too, in its own painful way.
Yeah, she's able to build a very vivid picture with few words. It's, I can see why you've chosen it. Have you gone then and explored her other work?
I have. I've got The Visiting Privilege, which is the stories that she was most comfortable collecting from her previous collections, plus 13 new ones. And they all have something to recommend them. They all have strange mixtures of discomfort and that kind of weird aptness of things that initially seem irrelevant, seem sort of little nonchalant side details, but they actually, you know, cast particular shadows on the different stories.
Now, she's been writing since the 1970s, but she's described as a writer's writer.
She's sometimes described as a writer's writer's writer.
Yes, I saw that too. I was going to ask you, what do you think that means? Does that mean only writer's writers read her?
I think that's what it means, yes.
It means not many people read her.
It means that she is not going for universal appeal. It means basically, and to me, and this is one of the things that I love about her, is that she is following her own star. She says of her stories, they don't try to be trendy, they don't change with the times. And there's such integrity in whatever she's pursuing.
On Books and Arts, Margot Lanigan, who's a reader's writer, if ever there was one, talking there to Sarah Lestrange. And of course, we're all going to go out now and find Joy Williams' short story, Souvenir, which is from her collection, The Visiting Privilege. In fact, you can read it online. There's a link to it on our website. And Margot Lanigan's latest book is Singing My Sister Down and Other Stories. That one's published by Allen and Unwin.